This morning we're looking at Joseph, the spoiled kid. Joseph, the spoiled kid. Perhaps you've heard of Joseph. You heard of Joseph? His famous Bible character. You might have heard of his famous musical that he wrote. Oh no, he didn't write it. Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote it, which is probably more about his amazing coloured dream coat thing, technicolour, whatever, than it is about anything else. But the thing about Joseph was he wasn't an easy guy to get on with. Joseph was not an easy guy to get on with. He was a spoilt kid. He was a spoilt kid. He lacked for nothing. I suppose in a way, he's not like unlike many of us. We lack for nothing, really. You might think you do. You might think, well, you know, I've got a PS3, but I could do with a PS4. Or you might think that you've got such and such an age of car, but you could do with one that's a few years newer. Certainly, I feel like that sometimes. And particularly as I go through the MOT. And we can get like that. But we kind of lack for nothing. We're a bit like Joseph. We have more than perhaps he'd ever have dreamed of. The problem was that Joseph wasn't a man on his own. He was one of 12 children. Second youngest of 12 children. Now, Maybell said she was out of a large family, but it's not quite that large. 12 children, and daddy's absolute favourite. Can you imagine that? Daddy, imagine being the older kids, right? And the second youngest is daddy's absolute favourite. Wouldn't you be annoyed? I'd be annoyed. I mean, I'm the oldest. It's all right for me. But if I was the second youngest of 12, 10 older brothers, I'd be really annoyed. Very annoyed. Very, very annoyed indeed. And there's nothing like seeing what happens when you give one child something and not another one, isn't there? If you give one child a lollipop and the other one doesn't get one, what happens? Fights ensue. Yeah, fights ensue. They don't like it. They don't like it when one of the children is an absolute favourite. And it brings trouble. And of course, Jacob was Joseph's father and completely missed all of this. He completely did not understand what he was doing. Jacob felt completely justified in thinking Joseph was the best son in the world. And he had a very good reason for that. Did you know that? He had a very good reason for wanting Joseph to be the best, even though he was the second youngest. Even though it was really unfair on all the others. Because in Jacob's mind, Joseph wasn't the second youngest son in his mind, in his thinking. He looked at him as being his oldest true son. His oldest true son. Oh dear, how did that happen? Well, it's a complicated story. Let me tell you it very, very briefly. Jacob was the youngest of two children himself. And he wasn't a nice guy. I think Doug alluded to that last week. He was a bit of a crook. Anyway, he fell out big time with his older brother Esau, and he had to run away. And so he ran away, and he went to live with his uncle. His uncle was called Laban, and he lived out, and he had a sheep farm. And so Jacob went to live on the sheep farm, and Laban, his uncle Laban, had two daughters, one of whom was a bit, and the other one was a bit, and so he fell in love with the second eldest one, Rachel, and he was completely besotted with her, loved her, besotted with her, and because she was the youngest, Laban didn't really want to marry her off first, because otherwise he'd be left with the one that's a bit, and what would he do with her then? So he said, look, you work for me for 7 years, and if you can put up with that, I'll let you marry my youngest daughter. And so Jacob did. And on the wedding day, something happened. Laban palmed him off with Leah, the one, and he ended up with the one who wasn't really very good looking. Well, apparently that's what it says in the Bible anyway. So he ends up marrying, I don't know how you do it. I mean, you turn up at the church, don't you? And you turn and you think, well, that's definitely, it's my wedding anniversary today, 23 years married today. And when I turned up at the church, And I came down the aisle and I got to the end of the aisle and I turned. It was definitely Ali. It wasn't her brother or anything. So how they managed to make that like massive mistake, I don't know. Maybe he was he had a massive stag night the night before or something like that. I don't know how it happened. Anyway, he married the wrong woman. Because Uncle Laban didn't want to have a daughter hanging around when she wasn't much of a looker. And so he palmed her off. Jacob was devastated to have married the wrong woman. And so Laban, in order to overcome this, said, look, if you work for me for another 7 years, you can marry my other daughter, Rachel. So he ends up with two wives. Never a good idea, having two wives. So they hated each other, these two wives, because Leah could have children and Rachel could not have children. And all hell breaks loose. There we are. There's a massive baby fight. That's babies in plant pots. This is where someone says, where do babies come from? If you didn't know, that's where it is. There's a massive baby fight. Maid servants get involved. Wives are all involved. It gets very, very messy indeed. Then at last, by some kind of miracle, a number of years later, after 10 children have been produced, Rachel suddenly falls pregnant and gives birth to a son who is Joseph. You see, in Jacob's mind, he sees Rachel, his only one who he really loved. And the only son that she's had to date is Joseph. So it was easy for him to get favoritism, his true son. And it is a disaster. His brothers hated him. Joseph was piled high with problems that were not caused by him, but become something that shaped him. I don't know if you ever play with this stuff. I'm just going to go over here. If you know what this stuff is. Oh, still sealed. It's all still new. You know, in counselling world, you're not allowed to be a counsellor without this stuff. I can't get into it, though. Does anyone know what this stuff is? I'll put it on the screen. Does anyone know what this stuff is? Play-Doh, yes. It's Play-Doh. It's there. Oh, there's something about Play-Doh, isn't there? So, what? What do you mean? Sue doesn't like Play-Doh. But there it is, look, Play-Doh. Now, when I was little, I was allowed to play with Play-Doh. I don't know what it did to the carpets in the house, but I was allowed to play with Play-Doh. And it's great stuff, mushy and smushy, and able to mould it into all sorts of different shapes, aren't you? But my mum and dad, they bought me, along with the Play-Doh, that I had, the Play-Doh that gets everywhere, doesn't it? It gets in the carpet. I'm probably dropping it on the floor as we speak. But you can make it into certain things, lots of sausages and things, but I wanted to make it into something more than that, and they bought me one of these. It was a Play-Doh mold, and you would extrude your Play-Doh into all sorts of shapes. You can see some of the shapes there. They come out in squares and lines and circles and stars and all sorts of shapes. And the thing is that Jacob had produced a son, Joseph, and he was squeezing him into a particular shape of being the favorite. And he was being extruded into someone who actually wasn't very nice. His brothers didn't like him because he used to go around in his flash technicolored dream coat. He used to go around with all the stuff that his dad had given him and said, oh, look at me, I'm the favorite. And he got all these kinds of dreams that said that I'm going to be better than you, and it all got very nasty. And so Joseph was kind of crushed into this mold that made out who he was, squeezed into a shape that did no favors for himself. He knew it. There were problems in his life, and that were going to cause problems in the future. He was the favorite son. He couldn't get away from that. He had more stuff than his brothers. He's not got away from that either. He came to believe in his status, and we do that too, don't we? We get to believe in our status. And then he had this massive like dream that backed the whole thing up, so it must be true. So it was really hard. And then his brothers were also being pressed into a similar kind of mold of things like resentment that got involved in their lives as well. So they were squeezed into the mold of anger, hatred, jealousy. They even wanted to murder him. Well, who wouldn't? Well, maybe they would. Maybe you wouldn't. But they got murderous thoughts towards him. And of course, we can easily allow our past to shape our future, can't we? We thought about that recently. We can easily allow our past to shape our future. The difficulty is then we start to carry it around and it begins to weigh us down and cause us some serious problems. Now, I need a volunteer, someone who's reasonably large but not enormous, someone who's reasonably strong, because I need them to do some stuff with these boxes over here. So have we got anyone who's reasonably strong and large? Where have I put my... I had some packing tape. Oh, is he going to be strong enough? Oh, here we are. Right, can you come down the front here? And I'm going to give you some stuff. Right, okay. Now, sometimes we get an easy life, don't we? You can walk around like that, can't you? You have no problems walking around. It's fine, isn't it? What about if I give you a nice box? There we are, you see? Now, sometimes we have our mistakes and our failures. Can you see this, everybody? You have to perhaps crane around. We have our mistakes and our failures, don't we? And we start carrying those around with us, and it begins to affect how we can walk around. Can you get around the church, all right? Go on, off you go. I'll get my next one. Brilliant. Around we go. On to the next one. Of course. No, I just need to, this one. I'm going to put another one with him. If he gets too heavy, then I'll get another person out. So, okay, that's all right, isn't it? Now we got, maybe we have some. If you want to turn around and show everybody. Sometimes we have, what does that say? Broken relationships. Sometimes we have broken relationships. Can he still get round? Careful. Guide him, everybody. Guide him. I've got a few more to go. How's he getting on? I might not send him round with the next one. Here he comes. Well done. Okay. There we go. Turn around. Right. I need someone who's bigger now. Yes, please. At the back. Here we go. Who is it? It's Josh. Come on then, Josh. Right. Now, Josh, if you can take this, because as we grow up in life, we get a bit taller, don't we? So thank you very much. You can go and sit down. Thank you. All right, you're stronger. Sometimes we get angry, don't we? Anger comes as part of our life. Off we go. That's it, keep going. New round. Is this part of your life, Josh? Is it anger, broken relationships, all these girlfriends, everything? All right, and then, of course, everybody has this problem. Turn around. Yeah. And we have sin. Sin can be a problem for us. Off he goes. Excellent. Help him, everybody. You see, we're a church, aren't we? We support one another, even in the midst of these things. And we get to carry these things around in our lives, don't we? We get to carry these things, and they become a burden. Now, Josh is a great football player, but imagine him playing football carrying these boxes around. Whoa! Whoa! I'll call Simon out in a minute. Turn around. Whoops. Oh, then there's family expectations. Whoops. What happened there? Stay still. Whoa. It all gets a bit overwhelming, doesn't it? Yeah, can you pick that up for me, please, Doug? Thank you. Stick it on the front of him. If you can reach. You can't reach. Yeah, expectations on us. So all these things, they begin to weigh down on us, don't we? Do you feel weighed down?
Yep.
Yeah. Doesn't sound convincingly weighed down. I've got another one if you want another one. So we've got an enormous amount of stuff, baggage that we carry around in our lives. Thank you very much, Josh. Thank you. Give him a round of applause, everyone. Thank you. That's lovely. Thank you very much. Ooh. Well done. You have an extra biscuit. We've got to get around there now. Joe's got to sing from behind here later. You see, we get stuff that piles up in our lives, don't we? And we're not able to function anymore. And eventually it caused the whole of Joseph's life just to collapse. And it fell down. His life collapsed. He ended up being sold into slavery by his brothers. The spoilt kid lost everything with the weight of expectation that was resting on him. He ended up as a slave in a rich man's house rather than a rich boy in a rich man's house. And then he got worse, and he ended up in prison. And there was no family there to get him out. Only God could walk with him through what he was going through. And perhaps we know the end of this story, but in Genesis chapter 50, his brothers come to him. They're absolutely petrified because Joseph's father has just died. And they throw themselves down in front of him. And they say, "We are your slaves." And Joseph says this. He says, "Don't be afraid. Am I in place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Now, what had happened is that Joseph had been lifted out of prison and restored through having interpreted the king's dream about a coming famine. Now, everything in our lives can be on top of us, and we feel like they're going to crush us and collapse us. But Joseph realized that all these things and everything that went wrong in the midst of that, everything that caused his life to collapse, actually God meant it for good ultimately. That he could bring something amazing out of it. You see, Joseph didn't look on these events as irreversible disasters in his life. He didn't go into slavery and become a victim or into prison and become a victim. Even though he was wrongly accused of sexual assault, he was thrown into prison outside of his will, outside of his control. But what did he do? He let the experience change him. God meant it for good. Not only did God make a bad thing good for the people of God and for the Egyptians, rescuing them from starvation because of Joseph's work as prime minister of Egypt, but God made a spoilt kid into someone he could use. Each one of us can have a testimony, or may have a testimony like that. How God has turned our lives from being one thing into another. But it only happens if we let him. God can do amazing things through us if we let him. Bad starts, good starts, poor life choices, good life choices, failed marriages, great marriages, healthy or sick, rich or poor. Doesn't matter. The only person God cannot use is someone unwilling to be changed. That's all. If you're willing to be changed today, God can use you. We don't have to be the spoilt kid. We might have come from a spoilt kid background, but we don't have to stay there. Let God change you. Let the experiences of life, even some of the disasters and things we don't want in life, change you. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to very briefly look at the life of Joseph this morning, to think about all the things that can weigh us down, all the things that make things hard for us in our lives. Help us, Lord, to throw them down on the floor, get rid of them, and I'll let you change us today. In Jesus' name, amen.